listening to Glorious Morning, the breakfast show with a difference, right here on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
This week we are continuing with our series, Controversial Perspectives on Faith, and we are looking at the prosperity gospel this week. What are we teaching? What are we teaching is the question we want to answer this morning. Is wealth a divine right or a spiritual destruction? Prosperity teachings often associated with the promise of financial abundance and health for the believers have sparked widespread debate in the Christian community. Are these teachings a source of hope and empowerment, or do they risk undermining the core values of faith and distracting people from what the gist of Christianity is all about? That's what we want to cover and find out. And joining us on the line is Elder Kalulu, who is our guest for the week. Mdala, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, my brother. Good morning. How are you?
No, doing okay. Thank you so much. And how do you do?
I'm doing very well. I'm doing fine.
Marvelous stuff. Marvelous. Thank you so much once again for joining us, Elder. And let's jump straight into the conversation we are covering. We want to first maybe address the tangibles of the prosperity gospel. What are the main tenets of this prosperity teachings, and how do they claim to benefit believers?
Like I said yesterday, I'm not a guru in it, but I think it has been some of the main gist is that, you know, when you're faithful to God, you'll be blessed. And God is not a poor God. And so poverty is nowhere, should be nowhere near a Christian. And if you really follow some of the guidelines that God has given in the Word of God, you are going to be prosperous. And sometimes, unfortunately, this treasure is addressed, or rather focused on a ministry that I have seen enriches those that are proclaiming it,
mm-hmm,
more than benefiting the mission of saving souls, because millions of dollars are being spent in luxury of those that preach this message and become so famous because they hold a lot of money,
okay,
yet thousands of souls are being lost. That's the sad part of it. That's the sad part of it. Yeah, because people give respect to leaders. And when whatever leaders say is like it's God talking.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's one also misnomer, where people have trusted more the gurus of this message than God. And that has denied them the privilege of having a deep relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's the danger of this gospel when it is focusing on the speaker as the receiver of the treasure more than God's mission. For me, that's one thing that brings it, you know, downhill more than uphill. Because the truth is, if you were that rich, then it meant you would benefit more people with the riches, because the Savior himself shows it and talks about it, that if folks have got homes, yet I don't have homes, his home is in the hearts of men. And if that treasure can lead the Savior in the hearts of men, then the gospel, the prosperity gospel would be meeting its achievement. But unfortunately, it is not. It is not.
You remind me of something I saw about this idea of the many now feeding the one, how contra to Christ's teachings it was. I mean, Christ, one person with assistance of very few, if at all we can call it assistance, feeds 5,000 plus people. But today it takes the 5,000 to feed the one person, right? That's the sad part of this message. Maybe talk to us about the teachings, how they interpret. You mentioned how they focus so much on these verses which speak about wealth and money. How do they interpret them, which is the challenge that we have, especially as popular Christendom? And why are we having such a gripe with the way they view these texts about money and success?
The world today is all about money making.
Okay.
And the devil knows that very well.
Okay.
And he knows that people trust God. And he knows that if ever there is a place where people must look to for their wealth, is God. And unfortunately, the way I see it today is that when a speaker becomes more of a marketer more than a missionary, then the problem begins, because now you want to market the message of God more than the mission of God in terms of saving souls. And to do that, you want to tell the people that, look, for these words to go, you have to donate to this ministry. You have to donate to this ministry so that we can do more. Instead of saying, look, you've got to have the personal, because that's what Jesus said every time he healed somebody. He told the person, go and show yourself to the priest, or go and tell your family, you know, keep it secret and make it compact and real, and be a witness. Be my witness. And so the focus was not on Jesus's ministry being enriched, but it was the ministry of Jesus enriching souls.
People. Okay.
And enriching people. And so when you see a preacher becoming so rich, and the listener becoming more poorer, there is a problem. Because God, I've just forgotten the verse, but it's in somewhere in Corinthians where it says, he came that we might be rich. He became poor that we might be rich. A true gospel ministry enriches people to become better. And the giver is the minister. That's why we are called ministers. You've got, you know, and that's why Christ says, if you want to be great in my kingdom, you've got to be a servant leader. You've got to serve the people. So if that's why God says we must all engage in the ministry of saving souls by returning tithe, which God does not use. God says it's mine, but God doesn't use it on himself. He uses it to bless ministers to go out and save souls. So the principle is very different with God, because God knows I'm rich. I have all these things. And so the idea is that he wants to equip us with the means to reach out to another person who needs to overcome poverty, who needs to overcome sickness, who needs to overcome loneliness, and all these other things. Because these are grips of the evil one that makes us not see God clearly. And so he wants us to liberate others with the riches that he gives us. And if we can do that, then our ministries will be doing the right thing.
Yeah. You mentioned this verse, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, you know, that for our sake he became poor, and by his poverty we have been made rich. And I hear you mentioning this idea that sometimes these ministries leave a lot of people in poverty. And I want to ask a question, Dana, to say, if we are to find a ministry that practices the prosperity gospel and enriches its members, would that then be the okay way to do it? Where they do the planting of the seeds and bring your money, and God only wants you to be wealthy and healthy and all these things they say, and the members are getting that. Would that then be termed the right way to do the ministry, the prosperity gospel, the right way, and people are not having poverty?
I think it would be right for us to use the resources. And in fact, God wants us to multiply the resources. Remember yesterday I referred to the talent issue, where God gave 1, 2, and 5, and those that used them, meaning those that favored more people or that helped more people, those other people went ahead and did what they were supposed to do. And so if you are receiving, you are a channel of God's treasure and blessing, there's no harm. The sun is shining every day. It's a channel of sunlight. God gives it, and it gives us sunlight. That's how it must be. In fact, this is where God is good. We add, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It means even the giver is blessed as you are giving. In fact, the more you open up to the blessings of God, the more God will use you. The idea is that we must be channels of God's goodness. But you can't handle blessings and not be blessed.
True.
You can't handle blessings and not be blessed. You can't handle money and not be wealthy. You're going to have it, but it's how you use it.
And I want you, Dela, to just maybe touch on that idea of a balance that's necessary, because what happens usually is in trying to counter the effects of the prosperity gospel, a ministry that usually just focuses on the here and now, the tangible, be moneyed, be healthy, be whatnot, and you forget actually, no, these are means to an end, just get us to heaven and to bless others, like you're saying, channels of blessing for God. And the opposite is where we then overcorrect to, or some people then end up overcorrecting to, where it becomes a gospel of poverty. If you're poor, then the closer you are to God. And you quoted a verse yesterday about the widow with the 2 mites, and that's how then somehow seen as, yes, if you are poor, the poorer you are, the closer to God you are. Actually, it's what's needed. Look at how these others were wealthy, and Christ says they have not given because they are so rich. And so don't be rich, in other words, is almost a lesson. Maybe help us draw this balance and say, what's the dangers of then? Is that the right way to go to that other extreme, to say actually poverty is closer to God?
No. God and poverty are not even close. It's very impossible to have a God who is poor, because God has everything. He's the source. He's the creator. We look at the universe, what he has created. And he says in Psalms, I think it's 24, it says the earth and is mine. And so to balance the whole equation is where I think those lessons of being a manager for God become very useful in our lives, where we see ourselves as children of God, number one, because that's what God made us to be. We are his children. And if you belong to such a God who is with everything, you are going to benefit from your relationship with this God. And God is our Father. He's our Father. And he has compassion for us. And he has made us to be like him, so we can also behave like him towards others. No wonder the great principles of the Bible, Matthew 22, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor like yourself. That principle itself shows you that there's a balance. Belonging to God gives you the benefit, and relating with others gives you the privilege to share the love that God gives you through whatever. And so if you recognize God's greatness and God's purpose for the riches, that they are meant to bless you and to bless others, I think the balance comes in, and the Spirit also is very, very busy showing you through compassion and kindness and all these attributes that God gives us when you have riches to see the poor and help out. And actually, Christ says it in Matthew that, look, I am visiting the sick, I'm in the prisons, and if you have a relationship with Christ and you're walking with him, you're going to visit those places. You'll be visiting those places. because you're walking with Jesus, and Jesus will take you to places where your money will add value to the life of others.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and it's one of the best things to do, to see another person feel better in life or be better.
Mm.
You know, I do street evangelism every morning. I'm out there.
Okay.
I meet so many brothers and sisters. I'm not a rich person, but if I have like a 50 kwacha, which is just like $2, and I find somebody hungry, I'm going to give.
Mm.
There are people who need medication. The other day I was just dropping some medication for a sister who needed it. And I went to the pharmacy looking for the medication, and I dropped it to her. What a good thing to see her feel better. I don't even know her. I don't really mind about who she is. What I mind is she's a person.
Yeah.
She needs to be healthy.
She needs to be well.
Yeah, she needs to be healthy. And she needs to be well. You see, in a nation where we have billionaires and millionaires, whatever currency it is, we should not be struggling with some of the issues we are struggling with. If people knew that when you make another person better, they'll become a better citizen in your nation.
Yeah.
Yeah. They become a better, less trouble. Less trouble when somebody has food to eat. If they don't, they are forced. Some of these situations can make you grow bitter in life.
Okay.
And then you start misbehaving. And so we can reduce some of these problems by being kind to one another, by making other people more educated, becoming more informed on how to keep themselves. When we employ that, we are making ourselves richer.
Thank you so much for that, Mdala. Maybe let's wrap it up with a question that's coming through on our WhatsApp line, +27734703520. We've got my brother here, Brother Sikana, saying, good morning to you, sir. I totally agree with the attribute of riches. Ours is to focus on Christ. My question is, we have ministers in our church who are struggling financially, and it is even embarrassing in some situations. As much as their treasure is heavenward, how can we then ensure that they are able to survive and not reach a stage of struggling as their ministers, even when we know that money or support is not the focus? So trying to emphasize again on that issue of balance, to say, is that supposed to be the way? You know, where, I mean, I remember the olden day preachers where their focus was not money. We always like to say, and they would ride a bicycle in our midst. And some of those that are now like that today, we're like, something is wrong with those preachers. We like preachers who are driving S-classes and Ford Ranger buckies.
You know, right from the beginning in the Old Testament, God has shown us that his ministers should not really be suffering the way they should. We learn at church that we must be faithful in how we conduct ourselves in managing resources. And one of those, that faithfulness that we really need to have, is to support the church in the finances and in how we manage resources of the church. And we must be returning a very faithful tithe and offering to the Lord as we receive and as we are blessed. That's God's system of blessing the ministers. And also, it was more than that. If we learn from our Jewish cultural biblical background, you will see that it was not just the tithes and offering. Even when it was an agricultural society, where God, every time somebody had the first fruits of what they got, they would honor God in thanksgiving, and there were so many other offerings that God had prescribed. If this happens, you do this, you can give a peace offering, you can give this, and that's how he supported the ministers. And so even today, we practice the same principles.
Let me pause them, Dale, and just pick your brain a bit. So I'm not too sure where you are in Zambia, but in most places, we've got more theologians, let me put it like that, than can be catered for in the system, the one you're describing, right? The God's tight system of supporting ministers. So we end up having more ministers that are available than can be catered for by the system. Some of them end up having to run self-supporting ministries and really relying on the extra free will offering of the saints that they're coming to minister to. They are not part of the tithe system, if you will. What then happens? Is it okay for a minister to then say, I will come to you, you're saying you're inviting me to come to Zambia, I will come, but please cater for my lodging like this, for my travel like this, and when I come beyond the lodging and the accommodation, the accommodation and the travel, I also want you to cater for some upkeep of such and such an amount. Would that be incorrect for a minister to then request for that as they're coming, or it's up to the person inviting to say, hey, you come, we'll see what you can do? Because many people have suffered at that hands where they travel thousands of miles and they get there, and after they're done ministering, Elder Kalulu says, no, thank you so much, may God bless you, go with God. And that's it. And like, wait a minute, I didn't come for free. Now it's on the minister to cater for that. So help us. Is that okay to then make a request and put it in black and white? If you want to invite me, I need 10,000 kwacha before I leave my house.
Yeah, for maybe on a personal note, I would say if God calls you on a mission, He will provide for you, either through the people that invite you or through your own resources that you may have to do your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And a reasonable missionary will not demand beyond what people are capable of doing. Because remember, this is not a mission, our mission, it's God's mission. And when God sends you on a mission, He provides for you. And it's not wrong for us to know the basic needs of somebody who is coming, because it also depends on the needs. Other ministers have got other needs that they may mm-hmm. need. Yeah, depending on what their situation, their health, their background, where they're coming from. We should understand those. Those are human hospitality needs usually that we consider. Oh, a person is coming and this is what we do. It also depends on the receivers. Paul? Mm-hmm. He spoke to the Macedonians who were giving more than what they were capable.
Okay.
So in the ministry of Jesus, once you surrender yourself to the Lord for the ministry, you yourself, the minister, will be reasonable, because you know I'm going on a mission to save souls. You must be satisfied.
The challenge though, Muruti, I hear you, Mdala, but the challenge that comes is seldom are we being called into unentered areas today. If you receive a call today, Elder Kalulu, seldom are you being called by non-believers to say, I had a dream about you, come to Macedonia and help us now, please. You are receiving a message from me and I'm saying, hey, at our local church, we were hearing you on the radio. We like how you sound. Come and preach to our church for the next week. Right. I don't think it's unfair for me to say, hey, if you can't afford 1, 2, 3 basic things, there are other preachers in your vicinity. Use those. Because it's not like suddenly the word of the Lord is not spoken. No. There are other preachers that you can utilize who are much cheaper and within your budget. Why don't you use those than to want to call Elder Kalulu across borders? And then you say, but Elder, we can't afford what you want to do us to do. I think it just becomes unfair.
We must learn from Paul. One of the great evangelists in the Bible. We must learn from him if we want to do proper service.
Okay.
He didn't mind where he was, in prison, on the ship, wherever he was. His treasure was not this paper money. His treasure was stolen.
True.
You know, when you focus on people, things of this world, like
diminish.
The deception. Yeah, they diminish. They completely disappear. So that's why I'm saying the condition of the preacher is important. The condition, the preacher you are calling, if he's coming to satisfy his entertainment desires, then you are inviting the wrong person.
No, but what I'm saying, no, I think you're misunderstanding me, Elder. I'm not saying he's satisfying his needs. I'm saying it's the people calling him. When we call you, we're not calling you to go to an interdata. Seldom are we doing that these days, where we invite someone from abroad to go speak to some unentered area in some bush we're trying to evangelize, or in some urban area which is unentered. No, seldom do we do that. We do that because we want you to come and speak to us. And I'm saying there is no comparative to Paul there. He ceases to qualify. It's almost like the church in Jerusalem was saying to Paul, come and speak to us. And they say, but Paul must cater for himself because he's a minister of the gospel. No, that's unfair, I think.
No, that's unfair. Yeah? If you invite somebody, you must cater for their needs.
That's my point.
I mean.
But now, invitees. No, you may go on for this.
If I'm coming there to minister, definitely I need to have a sleeping place where it's conducive. I need to have, you know, a good place where I'm in, because I need to be healthy throughout the period.
Which is then God, my question, is it not then standing to say, because of your experience that I've been to many places where it was not conducive, where they didn't really care about the preacher, and after everything was said and done, they just say to me, thank you so much, man of God, goodbye. You missed work, you put in leave at your own job, because remember, you're not employed, Wena. You're just an itinerant lay preacher. You're not employed, so you had to leave what you were doing that gives you money and come and cater to these Adventists or Christians who are calling you. And after that, they say, they shake your hand and say, go with God. Surely, after five times of that, you want to say, Bazana, before you call me, are you able to meet this?
No, the Bible also teaches us, honor your leaders.
And those who are administering well are worthy of double portion, right?
Exactly. We must show respect to the leaders. You're not just going to call a leader and just because they're in God's service, you don't care about what they are human beings. That won't work. That won't work. I think we need to balance things. Even as we call our leaders, we must know they're coming to do God's mission, and we are also going to minister to them.
Yeah.
Members must minister to their leaders, because also leaders need their members to minister to them.
Yeah.
They are also human. They need our ministry. They need our support. I've been an elder for some time now. You know, one of our duties is to ensure that our pastorates are
taken care of. Yeah, certainly.
Yeah, we check on their needs. You know, what are other extra needs that our pastor is not, meeting? Mm-hmm. And how can we as members? Yeah, it's a sorry sight. Most of our elderly ministers, especially this side of the world, after they retire, they go to sleep quickly. Why? Because all of a sudden they drastically drop from the standards of life, and they go in this poor village, no medicals, no one, poor house. No, that is not God's way.
Certainly.
That is not God's way. Yeah, it's not. That's not being unkind to our ministers. They have labored in the vineyard of the Lord. They should now enjoy their retirement.
Amen.
But instead of that, they begin to suffer sicknesses which are beyond. We should be kind to our ministers.
Dala, sadly, we'll have to leave it there for today. But thank you so much for indulging us, and we truly appreciate your time.
Thank you, my brother. Have a good day.
You too.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.